A reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 and 12 through 14. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and in the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like the rain that falls on the mown grass, like the showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of all the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture. Amen.
The grace and peace of our brother and teacher and leader, Jesus, Nazareth, be with us not just this day, but every day. So what were the other ones? Somewhere around the time he reaches 30, Jesus comes to understand who and what he is called by God to be. Comes to understand that he has been called by God to go out into the world and embody God and God's ways for humanity, for us. That understanding leads him to head to the Jordan River to be baptized. And when he comes up from the waters of the Jordan at his baptism, that understanding is solidified. It is confirmed for him. Because as the writer of Luke's gospel tells us, when Jesus comes up from the waters, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, becomes fully accessible to him. And then immediately, Luke says, Jesus is sent off to begin a life of fame and fortune as an arena-filling televangelist. Oh, wait, that's a different story. No! Instead, immediately, God's Holy Spirit, God, sends Jesus off to school. To school. To leadership school. to spiritual leadership school. Sure, Luke tells us that Jesus is sent off to the wilderness. But in fact, God sends, pushes, nudges, drives, forces Jesus to go to spiritual leadership school. Spiritual as both subject and adjective. God sends Jesus to spiritual leadership school so that he can more fully understand his calling, so that he can reflect on it, so that he can learn about it, so that he can acquire and then master the principles, the skills, the abilities necessary to both lead people in their spiritual lives, spiritual subject, and be a spirit-led leader, spiritual as adjective. For 40 days, Jesus goes to spiritual leadership school. 40, that familiar number in the Bible that signifies the right, the necessary amount. God sends Jesus to spiritual leadership school for the necessary amount of time. The necessary amount of time to what? To be able to pass his final exam. After 40 days at spiritual leadership school, Jesus's faculty advisor, his primary professor, opens the classroom door, walks in, and says, "It's time." Jesus's faculty advisor, his primary professor, is the devil. Not the devil or Satan as we sort of normally associate that character as the embodiment of evil, but the devil or Satan as that character is in a number of places throughout the Hebrew scriptures characterized as a kind of associate to God, as someone whose job is to constantly present the opposite point of view or to challenge the faithfulness of God's people. Like in the book of Job, for instance. That first part is where we get the term devil's advocate, presenting the opposite point of view. The devil is Jesus' primary professor. And if he's the embodiment of anything, the devil is the embodiment of every ridiculously hard professor or teacher that any of us has ever had. He is the embodiment of that teacher who had the extraordinary ability to be terribly annoying, but at the same time indispensable, necessary, because they always found a way to test us on the things we were the weakest at. Professor Devil walks in the classroom and says to Jesus, "Your final exam is going to be an oral one. An oral one with three items. Item number one, you've been here for quite a while now, Jesus, and the reports I get are that you haven't eaten barely anything. So, if you're God's son, well, let's take these stones and make yourself some bread. Nice sandwich." Not if you're God's son, as if whether you are or you aren't. That's not the question. It's if, as in since. Since you are God's son, you know, take these stones, make some bread for yourself. Jesus answers, "No. I will not. That is not what spiritual leadership is about. Spiritual leadership isn't about using the power that you have to serve yourself or to be self-serving. Instead, it is to serve God's people." The devil nods his head. Okay. Item number two. Take a look around, Jesus. In fact, take a look beyond everything you see right now. It's all yours. I'll give it all to you. I will give you complete, unrestrained power. And all you got to do is pledge your allegiance to me. Focus on me and my ways instead of God and God's ways. Deal? No, Jesus answers. I won't do that either. I won't do that because that's also not what spiritual leadership is about. Spiritual leadership isn't about unrestrained power. It is about the daily walk, exercising power with discipline, with restraint, with wisdom, with humility, with courage. Very well, the devil says. Item number three. Do something spectacular. Just give an exhibition of power that is just wild, that'll knock people's socks off. You know, like, go to the top of the temple and jump off. God will never let anything happen to you. No, Jesus says, I won't do that either. Because that's also not what spiritual leadership is about. Spiritual leadership is about getting things done that matter to the welfare of the people. All the people, or at least as many as possible. The devil nods his head one more time. You've passed. And as the scene ends, Jesus begins to walk out the classroom door, ready to assume the position of spiritual leadership that God has called him to. But on the way out the door, the devil says, oh, just one more thing, Jesus. I'll see you again, because in spiritual leadership, the tests never end. Devil's right. In spiritual leadership, either leadership of others on their spiritual path or spirit-led leadership, the tests never end. But at the same time, they also don't close with just the final exam. See, the way we tend to remember this story is that after 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus is tested by the devil. But in Luke's telling of this story, the writer says that for 40 days, Jesus was tested in the wilderness. Wasn't just that final three-item oral exam. Jesus was tested the entire time at spiritual leadership school. So what were the other ones? What were the other tests about? What were they like? Well, as you and I know, in the best schools, the best classrooms, the other tests were the smaller tests that connected to the big one, to the final exam. They were the smaller tests that served as building blocks related to those enormous major challenges exemplified in that final exam. The building blocks that allow Jesus the opportunity to grow in his understanding of what spiritual leadership was about that made it possible for him to acquire and then master the principles and the qualities and the skills that spiritual leadership requires. The qualities and skills that the writer of the 72nd Psalm identifies for us. Psalm 72 is a prayer that was written and was meant to be sung during ceremonies to install a ruler, the coronation of a king, or, if you will, the inauguration of a president. And the writer of the psalm understands that even though most leadership is not spiritual subject leadership, the leadership of people on their spiritual paths for that specific purpose, all leadership is meant to be spiritual in the sense of spirit-led. All leaders are called by God to be spirit-led. And the writer of the psalm tells us the qualities, the skills necessary to do that. The spiritual leader is called by God to bring compassion to the needy. The spiritual leader is called by God to bring justice to all people, but especially to the poor and all others who have the least power in a society. The spiritual leader is called by God to help redeem, deliver those who are threatened by oppression or violence. The spiritual leader is called by God to embody righteousness, which here in this psalm means moral and ethical uprightness. If the leader does those things, the writer of the psalm says, God will bless the people. Will bless the people with peace and prosperity, which again, in the Hebrew that the psalms were originally written in, is actually the word shalom. Shalom, which is most accurately translated as well-being. The people will have well-being. And so, we have now inaugurated a new president. And with those things in mind, I would like to humbly suggest to our new president that I hope he keeps some things in mind. Mr. President, I hope that you keep in mind that you're going to be tested the entire time in the wilderness, all 40 days. And those tests will be both big ones and smaller ones. But remember that the smaller ones matter, because the smaller tests are the ones which will reflect and reveal who and what you will be in the bigger tests. Mr. President, I hope you will remember that just as the writer of Psalm 72 says right at the beginning, the first thing he reminds people is that the people are not yours. The people are God's. And because of that, you are called by God to remember that your power is not unrestrained. You are called by God to remember that your primary responsibility is to bring justice to those who lack it, especially the poor, bring compassion to the needy, redeem people threatened by violence and oppression, and to embody moral and ethical uprightness. Because if you do, the people will have shalom, well-being. And then third, since it's only fair, I offer three things, since that's the number of items on Jesus' final exam. Third, Mr. President, I hope you will remember that there, just as that old cliche that I think we've probably all heard at one point, there's no I in team, there's also no I in leader. There's no I in leader. You are called to serve, not to be served or to be self-serving. There is no I in leader, but there's an I on leader. There's an I on every leader. I as in I am, the name by which God identifies God's self throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, and that Jesus uses in the Gospels to connect himself to God. I am. And the eyes of I am are on you, Mr. President, just as they are on every leader, every president we've ever had, every leader of every country throughout history. The eyes of I am are on you. But also remember this, Mr. President, God wants to help you. And God will help you if you allow it. And if you allow it, you will succeed, Mr. President. And if you succeed, we all succeed. And that's why God calls you to be a spiritual leader. So, Mr. President, good luck. Prayers are with you. School is now in session.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you for being here this morning to share in our community's weekly celebration of God's presence and power and goodness and challenge and call for our lives, and hope that if you have some time, you'll stay for refreshments and conversation in Patton Auditorium through the door to my left after Dr. Thompson's postlude. I would like to thank Dr. Thompson and the Chancel Choir and our Children's Choir for leading us today musically. Thank Bridget Anderson for leading us in the words of Scripture. So now, my friends, it is time for us to leave this sacred space, leave the classroom door, and go out into the world committed to being spiritual leaders in whatever realms we work and live in, committed to doing our part to bring justice to the poor and the powerless, compassion to the needy, redemption to those threatened by violence and oppression, to be morally and ethically upright. Let us leave this sacred space knowing that while we will be tested today, we will be tested again tomorrow and the day after that, just as we have been tested every day before and will continue to be tested. But let us also never forget that in every test, God will be with us if we allow it, and we will pass. Amen.